Blog Talk Radio.
You hear all that music, that means one thing. Football season is upon us. Well, the NFL is upon us. That starts on Thursday. College football started Thursday. Had a couple games Friday. Montage of everything on Saturday. Had a game last night. We have a game tonight to round out week one. Happy Monday. Happy Labor Day Monday at that. I hope you and all your family and loved ones are enjoying the long weekend. You work hard, so enjoy this day. That's what it's for. It's a brand new season of Monday Evening Quarterback. My name is Christian Simpson, and I am the creator. I'm the founder. I'm the NFL and college football analyst and radio contributor and now host of a company named named The Daily Blitz, where we specialize in everything football 24/7, 365. If you've been sticking with me and have been following along from the get-go, welcome back, everybody. I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're staying safe. And if this is your first time following me, or you've been referred to me, one, thank you to whoever referred you, and two, thank you for taking the referral. Man, I have a lot to discuss. This show is going to be aired every Monday evening. We're always going to discuss what caught my eye in college football. We're going to go to the phone line sometimes. We're going to talk about what caught my eye in the NFL. But Monday Evening Quarterback this year is a tad bit different. I decided to link up with Spotify, Blog Talk, YouTube. The show will still stream on YouTube. Just putting it on some different platforms now. My mother said it best. What's the point of being in business if you're not going to elevate? Never settle for what it is that you want and what you deserve. And moving forward now, I'm not alone. I have a producer. You guys have heard me with this guy before. He's the reason why I'm on the Nerd Zone every Wednesday night on the Nerdport Network. I have Mr. Nerdport himself in the building with me, Mr. RK himself, Ronnie Coof. Ronnie, what's going
Hi,
on?
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
What's going on? Oh, yeah, it's going to be those kind of shows. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. He's the comedian of the show. Wow,
I'm the color guy. You're the straight man. It works out.
I hope so. So, yeah, I just thought it was time to elevate it because the first 2 years with Monday Evening Quarterback, it was on YouTube. You guys were seeing me now. You're just hearing me. And look, Ronnie, I don't know about you, but we have a jam-packed show. There's a lot to discuss in week one of college football because some big things happen. I already know three things I want to talk about. I know there's some things you probably want to bring to the table as well. As I said, we're going to go to the phone lines, hear what the beautiful people have to say, and then we're going to pick games for week one of the NFL. The NFL returns this Thursday night, defending champion Kansas City Chiefs hosting Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. All right, Ronnie, let's stop wasting time. Let's get right into it. So you already know where I'm going with this one first. It's what everybody's been talking about. An upset happened in Fort Worth, Texas the other day. Colorado Buffaloes, TCU Horned Frogs. Remember, TCU entered as a national runner-up from last year, and they were the ranked team in this game. Colorado, it's Deion Sanders' first game coaching. Colorado making his head coaching debut, bringing over a lot of his guys from Jackson State. Both of his sons play, Shiloh Sanders. Shador Sanders is the quarterback, and then Travis Hunter, I think, was the big talk of the game as well. But I'm just going to dive right in, and I'm just going to tell you what caught my eye right away. It's just,
oh, I can't wait till you do, because, boy, do I got to tear this game apart.
TCU played some of the worst defense that
they couldn't catch a cold.
They couldn't stop cyberbullying if they wanted to. It just seemed like every time TCU got ahead, they could never punch Colorado in the mouth, right? So,
yeah.
Colorado was able to gain momentum, and they were able to stick with TCU. It was really a back-and-forth game. I knew points were going to be scored in this one. I previewed this one on the site last Thursday. Yes, I was one of the many people that had TCU winning this game. I went 0-3 in my first set of picks, so I'm just going to get that.
I went 2-for-2.
Who cares?
Oh, really? Let's pull up the full schedule that we did last week on Wednesday and see what we had, because I haven't even tallied that up yet.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off the air. But I was impressed with what I saw from Colorado because they came in with confidence, and that's what Deion is. Deion's an old-school coach, and he's going to use everybody to the best of their ability. Now, Ronnie, let me ask you, what did you think of Travis Hunter and his performance on Saturday?
I thought it was – okay. Overall, TCU was hitting them in the mouth. They left 17 points on the board, just saying that.
Okay.
Travis Hunter, I mean, what can you say? Colorado came out, played their game, and they punched TCU in the mouth.
Not only did they punch TCU in the mouth, you notice Colorado used a lot of no huddle. And I don't know if everybody who's listening understands what no huddle really does against the defense. One, they can't get set up, and two, it neutralizes their pass rush. So Shador left with too clean of a jersey for my liking.
It's not even that. So watching this game back, being a defensive guy, me and you were both defensive sides of the ball.
Right.
Why was TCU the entire game in cover two prevent defense?
Yeah, that's what – look, I'll say this.
Shador can pass for 510 yards, but if you're
but
I think that is that right there is fool's gold.
It is, but look, if you know that the cover two prevent isn't working, play press underneath. You notice they didn't really throw a lot at Josh Newton, and I told you about him last Wednesday on the Nerd Zone. But I just saw a more prepared Colorado team. And to be honest, I just think Colorado was taken too lightly by TCU. And here's the thing. I remember saying, I said this to my dad yesterday on the phone because he called me and asked me about it. And I said to him, look, There's no such thing as an easy football game, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college football. And I always say anybody can be beat any Thursday, any given Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday, Sunday night, or Monday night. And we saw that the other day. And you just saw Colorado. They were just a more confident team. I just had that defeated attitude. I sensed it with TCU. They just couldn't pull ahead. And when they pulled ahead, it just seemed like Colorado was like, okay, let's prepare for that. And here's another thing I have to say about Shedeur Sanders. No matter what they threw at him, he never seemed rattled. And he gets that from his dad.
Oh, I mean, he's a Sander, of course.
Look, you can't be a slouch with that last name. And your daddy is the greatest ever to play his position. You know, I told my mom this, and I told my dad this yesterday, too. Deion Sanders is football royalty. I don't think you can really discuss the game of football without bringing his name up. And you saw what he did at Jackson State. You see what he's doing in Colorado. Let's see what he does this weekend. It's their home opener. He had everybody talk. I mean, everybody was talking about this game, from Richard Sherman to J.J. Watt, Mike Wilbon, a lot of the NBA community, even the DLGG, Snoop Doggy Dogg, was talking about this game on Twitter and Instagram. So when Deion's a part of football, I just think the sport is better as a whole. And he truly is a motivator of young men. And I hope he sticks with this school for a long time. I also said this on Saturday as well. No matter how many games Colorado wins this year, it's a vast improvement. Remember, this is a program that went 1-11 last year. They've already won their one game. So they win next week against Nebraska, which I think they will. Two wins, they're already a much improved team than what we saw last season. But I think we're going to see what their heart is made of and what their how we can measure them against Oregon. Do they play Washington this year, Ronnie?
I will find out.
We're going to see how they look against Oregon, because I know they play Oregon in Eugene, which is a tough place to play. And then we'll see how they look against USC, and I have a feeling points are going to be scored in that one.
No, but they have a back-to-back against way home. They got Oregon and then USC.
Okay. I think that USC game is going to really tell us who they are. But then again, I don't trust USC's defense. I actually had to switch my four, because I had USC as a playoff team originally before I revealed everything on Saturday. Now I switched that to Alabama. My four coming in, it was Georgia at one, Michigan at two, Florida State at three, who we will get into very shortly, and then the Alabama Crimson Tide at four. You know the committee don't want Bama to lose.
I think you're looking at – you definitely got to see a Pac-12 getting in there, and I think the team in Eugene might do it.
Okay.
80 freaking points.
Yeah, but look, that was a scrimmage.
I understand that, but also, how many of those were bad? When did they pull the starters? Second half? You're telling me the second stringers put up 40 against a 1A team, unlike a team in the shoe that couldn't put up 20 against the bad Indiana team.
You're not wrong. I'll say that much right there. You're not wrong. I'll say this about Oregon. They could be this year's TCU. Second year under Dan Lanning. Bo Nix had the best year of his career last season. He's back. They have nice weapons. If they can get that defense right, this is going to be a tough out. And that's Dan Lanning's bread and butter. You saw what he was able to do in Athens with the Georgia Bulldogs in 2021. Last year, he didn't have a lot of his recruits and his players. Remember, coaching is all about personnel fits. And Oregon really struggled last year. We knew what we were going to get from their offense. It was their defense that really struggled. But, yeah, Oregon's going to be fun to watch. You know, when Oregon has it going, I also think the Pac-12 is fun. This is the final year of the Pac-12, and what an interesting way for them to start their season, because every team in the Pac-12 won.
Yeah.
This weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Because Oregon State won yesterday. Colorado won on Saturday. Oregon won. USC won. Washington.
Yep, they all are 1-0. They're all 1-0 except USC is 2.
Yeah, so the Pac-12 as a whole is 13-0. I'm looking at it right here. So, okay, we discussed Colorado, TCU. Let's look
well,
at some.
Let me say something first about the TCU game.
Okay.
I think that game against Colorado is a false line. As much as they won 45-42, correct. They won. You have to play the game to win it. Fine.
Correct.
TCU gave up 17 points total in the red zone. They gave up two picks that were going to be touchdowns in the end zone and a missed field goal. So right there, unforced errors. Okay. Second of all, you had the defense play cover two prevent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he picked them apart. Or then he hit one big Sanders hit one big play to bring them down the field.
Okay.
Here's the problem with that. Everyone's like, oh, he passed for 500. On the ground, they only rush for 55 yards. They are a one-trick pony.
You just took the words out of my mouth because there are two things that I'm concerned about with this Colorado team. One, their ability to run the football. And look, people off the air, offline, have talked to me and they're like,
in your group.
You're not wrong. Say, it's a pass happy league, which I get. Yes, the game of football now is very pass driven, but you still have to run the football because running the ball sets things up for your passing game, because running the ball allows you to bring safeties in a box. You can use that play action and then you can attack over the top.
Tell that to everyone that played on Sunday. Rutgers, Oregon State, and U.S. FSU all were balanced offenses.
Bingo. Balance still wins football games. And I'm going to talk about another team that showed some balance as well, Ronnie. But to elaborate on what you said, so we talked about the running thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, they weren't able to consistently pound the rock in between the tackles. So that there's one. You know what my other issue was with Colorado? I want to see if you can guess it before I say it.
Penalties? I don't know where you're going with that. Where are you going?
It's the interior of their defensive line.
Okay.
They could not stop the run. And
I got the stats right here if you want them.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Colorado, 34 rushing attempts, 5 yards, averaged 1.6 per carry. TCU, 37 attempts for 262.
Bingo. Can't stop the run. And when you can't stop the run, that's going to put a litany of pressure and problems on your defense, especially on the interior. And I already hear Prime now. Look, you won the game. That's my Prime impression. Look, you won the game, okay? But
problem is everyone was saying they were too legit to quit. TCU came in and legitly quit.
Yes, they did. But anytime something successful happened for TCU, they ran the football.
Yep.
And why they got away from it is beyond me. Like, that's my thing. If I know a team is struggling in a certain aspect of the game, I'm exploiting that until they can stop it. And the prime example I'm going to give you, look at all those Patriot teams Brady was still playing. I was just telling somebody the other day, the Patriots never really had an identity offensively. They attacked you with how you struggled. So if you stop the run, what did they do? They ran the football, and they ran it down your throat until you could stop it. Right?
Yeah.
Or if you couldn't stop the intermediate passing game, what did they do? They attacked the middle of the field. You know, that works because the defense isn't going to know what you're bringing to the table. Ronnie, I know you remember this, sticking with the Patriots. It was a 2014 game, right?
Yes.
The Patriots were playing the Indianapolis Colts on a Sunday night. The Jonas Gray game.
Okay.
The Colts could stop the run to save their life. Jonas runs for 201, and I think he scored about 3 or 4 touchdowns. So all Tom Brady had to do in that game was just manage it.
That was 2015 when they came
out.
I'm thinking of the 2015 game where they went for it on fourth down on their 20.
Oh, you're talking with that silly formation that they ran?
Yeah, like I was thinking of that one where they were even on Monday Night Football. They were going, "What the hell is he doing?"
Exactly. Yeah, that was Sunday night.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
But yeah, look, and if I'm every team that's playing Colorado, I'm looking at that TCU game and I'm running the football right up the middle because
I'm running the football and on defense I'm jamming the I'm jamming the goddamn wide receivers at the line.
You have to. You have to. You know, I'm not
Let Sanders beat them with their legs. Because I'm sorry, the one thing is, as much as you think they're going to beat Nebraska, you want to know what Nebraska has? Defense.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. So I'm really curious to see what type of game plan Matt Rhule is going to apply in this game. Because, look, Nebraska's offense didn't look the greatest on Thursday night against Minnesota, but their defense rose to the occasion.
I was just saying, but Minnesota's offense didn't look great.
That was my type of football game. It was defense, hard hitting, it was low scoring, and most importantly, it was physical. Okay, so we discussed the majority of Colorado and TCU. Here's the next game I'm going to break down. North Carolina, South Carolina. Happened in Charlotte. College game day was there. Man, so glad that Kirk and the guys are back. And Lee Corso is still doing a doggone thing at, 80 years old?
Lee is looking bad.
Yeah, but Lee is passionate.
I'm waiting for the day Lee gives it to McAfee.
I think he already has, in a way.
Well, I meant, the headgear.
Oh, I could see that. McAfee
with his personality? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pat McAfee is a larger-than-life personality. Shout out to Pat McAfee. I think he's bigger now than he was when he played.
gotta have that six-pack there, boy.
Yep, exactly. But, okay, coming into this game, I was excited about finally getting the chance to see Drake May play. It's one thing when you see highlights and you watch tape and you look at what these kids can do, but when you see them in an actual game setting, it's different. And, you know, I like what he can do. You know, he has a strong arm. He can spread the ball all over the field, stretches the field vertically. And if you don't pressure him or if you don't account for him when you're playing man-to-man coverage, he can escape. But, Ronnie, what's the thing I always say about quarterbacks now? Your quarterback should not only just be your leading passer, they shouldn't be your leading rusher as well. And he rushed for 648 yards, which led the team. So what does that tell me? You've heard me say this about the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. They rely on a quarterback way too much. But I saw a balanced attack, and Mac Brown said, look, we want to be a more physical football team. You know, we want to win that battle in the trenches. We want to punch you in the mouth with our five up front. We want to push you off the line of scrimmage 5 and 7 yards per play. And we want to run that football. British Brooks was my X factor coming into this game, and they fed him the ball. You know, I saw a much more balanced attack from North Carolina, and I'm looking at the stats right here. Drake May did what Drake May did. 24-32, 269 yards passing. Averaged 11 yards per pass attempt, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But here's the most impressive sack, Ronnie. You ready?
Right.
No sacks. He was not sacked once. So that offensive line did what they had to do. And British Brooks, 15 carries, 103 yards, 6.9, so 7 yards per carry, and no touchdowns. Drake May only ran the ball 4 times for 25 yards rushing. But we all know what the concern was with North Carolina coming into this game. You know what I'm about to say right now, Ronnie. Their defense. Because UNC, we know they can score, right? We know they can score. We know they can push the ball up and down the field. But their defense has been a problem. You remember this, and I remember this, because I think I was talking to you last year as this was going on. Remember in North Carolina's opening game against Appalachian State last year, they gave up 40 points in a quarter?
Yeah.
Didn't do that this year, but miraculously, they still won the game. I think that was more so Appalachian losing that game than it was North Carolina winning that game. I'll just put that out there
right
now. But look, North Carolina hired Gene Chizik. He's the former head coach of Auburn. He was the head coach of that team that won the national championship with Cam Newton in 2010. And remember what I told you on Wednesday on the Nerd Zone. This UNC defense doesn't have to be Georgia-esque. We don't need them to be lights out like that. They just have to get off the field, create a turnover here and there, get after the quarterback, and your job is done. And they did just that. I'm looking at the numbers for South Carolina now. And what did I tell you the key was for South Carolina? What Spencer Rattler was going to show up? Did we see what we see inconsistent Spencer, or will we see the Spencer Rattler that tore apart Tennessee to the tune of 6 touchdowns toward the end of last season, and in the finale in Clemson throws 3 more touchdowns? So that's 9 touchdowns in 2 weeks. Look, the potential's there with Spencer. I think he could be a pretty solid NFL quarterback. He just has to play more consistently. And with the right coaching and some tune-ups from a mechanical standpoint, I think he's going to be just fine. But I'm looking at the numbers right here for South Carolina. Spencer went 30 of 39, 353 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but he was sacked 9 times. So North Carolina got after the quarterback. Xavier Leggett was South Carolina's leading receiver and probably their best player on the field on Saturday night. 9 receptions, 178 yards receiving, and damn near 20 yards. He averaged 20 yards per reception. So South Carolina, look, they're in a big and bad SEC. We know they're not in the bracket with the Georgia Bulldogs. They're certainly not in the bracket with the Alabama Crimson Tide. I would say LSU, but we'll get into LSU in a couple of minutes. But anything else you want to say about North Carolina and South Carolina, Ronnie?
No, you pretty much said it.
Did I?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, they just South Carolina didn't show up. I mean, you know what? As much as the offense didn't show up, it was more the defense that did not show up.
Yeah, they didn't. But I just like the balanced attack that North Carolina presented on Saturday. And like you said, Florida State, they had balance. Oregon, they had balance. Rutgers, they had balance. Colorado, not necessarily, but TCU, they had balance despite losing the football game. So let's go and talk about the game that I think everybody was looking forward to. These two played last season to open the year. And they played yesterday to open the season as well. I'm talking about the LSU Tigers and the Florida State Seminoles. Now, Ronnie, you know I've been high on Florida State, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been telling you all off season, God, stumbling and mumbling and fumbling.
It's the first of the year.
Yeah, look. this Florida team brings back the most talent that I think Mike Norvell has ever had since he's become their head coach. And what do we always say? When the old school teams are doing well, the sport as a whole is invigorated, and the sport as a whole feeds off of that. This is the one I think everybody was looking forward to. Look, Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit on the call. I was breaking it down on Twitter, which I will promote after the show, so we'll take care of all that. Well, before the show was over. And LSU came out fired up. First big play down the field. They get into the red zone, but I also saw them go for it on fourth down, and they didn't get it. And I said on Twitter, this is going to come back to bite them. Take the points. I'd rather take 3 than to come away with nothing. And I don't know what Brian Kelly was thinking. It was a very interesting quarterback matchup between Jaden Daniels and Jordan Travis. And, Ronnie, what's my rule? You better have game. If you have 2 first names, it's only right. You cannot be a slouch out here with 2 first names and you don't have game. How dare you? That's so disrespectful.
So looking at the stat lines, if you did not watch this game and you noticed just the stat line, this game was evenly matched except one stat. And you just said it. Fourth down.
Yeah.
LSU, 0-for-3 on fourth down. Florida State, 1-for-1.
And see, that's my thing. Run the football. You see what I'm saying? Or not even run the football. Just take the points. So you said they went 0 for 3?
0 for 3 on fourth down. Yep.
Look, that's 9 points that they could have had right then and there. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
I mean, other than that, yardage-wise, 4-6, 494. 30 yards is nothing.
Wow, so it was a pretty evenly matched game. However, football is won in the second half. What team makes the better adjustments at the half? And Florida State did that. It just looked like LSU – excuse me. It just looked like LSU threw in the towel because they put no pressure on Jordan Travis. They had no answer for 6'7" Johnny Wilson, who I think is going to be a problem this year. But how about Keon Coleman? He went up and got the football. And I know Michigan State is probably kicking themselves for letting this kid go.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But, look, I just saw a completely different Florida State team in the second half, and they showed why they're one of my four to make the playoffs. I thought LSU was the better team coming in, and I thought this was one Florida State would lose, and then they just breeze through the rest of their schedule, the rest of the season. But just looking at these numbers real quick. First off, Ronnie, what did you think of Jaden Daniels yesterday?
He liked to get out of the pocket real quick. In
so,
all honesty,
looking at his numbers right here, he was 22-37.
Yep.
347 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception, and he was sacked 4 times. But look, I need to give Jaden a little pep talk. Don't try and hurdle over like 6 or 7 guys in the middle of the field. And I hope his coaches said something too, because I thought he got hurt when he did that. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then again, Jaden Daniels was also the team's leading rusher.
I was just about to say, 15 for 64. That's exactly what I was just about to say.
Yeah, yeah. But, and then looking at the Florida State side, again, more balance. Jordan Travis, 23-31, 342 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. He threw the interception, but regrouped. But, again, most impressive stat, no sacks. He was not sacked in this game. Benson for Florida State, 12 attempts, 47 yards. And Keon Coleman, he was the man with a plan yesterday. 9 receptions, 122 yards receiving, and 3 touchdowns. Not one, not two, but 3.
Okay, LeBron.
Look. Look. Well, I'm not taking my talents to South Beach. I'm staying in New York. Okay?
True.
Yeah, so, look, I'm going to say what I have to say. Johnny Wilson was targeted 9 times, 7 receptions for 104 yards. But you want to know what I thought about how Florida State was using Johnny Wilson? Again, I don't know why LSU wasn't playing him in press coverage. They were playing him in a lot of zone. So he found a lot of soft spots in the zone. So what I mean by that is, man to man, you're right up on the receiver. For everyone that's listening, and you may not understand football, that's what we're going to try and do here on Monday Evening Quarterback. We want to teach, okay? Zone, you're playing off your receiver, and as soon as the receiver that you're covering makes a cut to get open, you jam his route. And he found a lot of sweet and soft spots in the zone. And he's going to be fun to watch. I think this tandem of Coleman and Wilson, they're going to be fun to watch. But, Roddy, you know what I'm looking forward to in a couple weeks with Florida State? I think you know where I'm going with this. It's going to be a rivalry renewed, Florida State-Clemson. You think game day is going to be there for that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I'll give you one stat that no one's going to talk about, though. Florida State, as much as they dominated, were sloppy when it came to penalties.
Mm-hmm. They were.
7 penalties for 64 yards, and LSU had 2 for 30.
So you saw more of a clean football game somewhat on the LSU side, because in the first half, they committed no penalties.
No, and it doesn't help that – I mean, it didn't help that FSU came out and put up – oh, God, it was like some – it's 31 points in the second half.
Yeah, not only that, but I remember after the first quarter, LSU had, I believe, 5 penalties for 53 yards. And what do we always say? The team that plays the cleanest football is going to end up winning the football game. But, again, Florida State adjusted. That was probably the best coaching performance I think I've seen from Mike Norvell. Florida State's going to be a player this year in the country. I think they're going to move up in the rankings, and I have a feeling that LSU more than likely is going to move down. Just a terrible way to start the year. I saw one person say this on social media, and I wanted to bring this up to you. Do you think they need a legit quarterback? Because that person seemed to say that Jaden Daniels is not the answer to them. What do you think?
And LSU, time will tell. I don't think we have enough information yet to say if he's going to be the guy or not.
Yeah. I think he needs to trust himself in the pocket a little bit more. I saw him wanting to take shots down the field, but anytime, you know, he wanted to make a deep pass down the field, Florida State took it away. I mean, they were just a better coach team, and I think Brian Kelly ate some humble pie because you saw what he said before the game, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to beat the hell out of the Florida State Seminoles.
The good news is, though, he came back out during his press conference and said, well, I'll eat that. We just had a total failure.
Yeah, that's true. But just don't say anything. Don't give a team bulletin board material. How many times have we seen this? Remember in the college football playoff a couple years ago, Dabo Sweeney, when they're about to play Ohio State. And I want to say this was the Sugar Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I had Ohio State ranked 11th on my poll. And what did Ohio State do? The daylights out of Clemson before they got the daylights beat out of them by Alabama. Right?
Just like TCU.
What did TCU do again?
Oh, besides the fact that they went in, they didn't talk shit. Harbaugh kind of talked a little trash. TCU beats Michigan and they get stomped the living shit out by Georgia.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Because the lights went out in Georgia.
Yeah, and then look at Caleb Williams last year painting his nails. I'm not going to talk about that on the air. But, you know, he said F Utah on his nails. And what did Utah do? They ruined his playoff chances.
Said thank, congratulations. You're welcome, USC.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Ronnie, anything else you want to discuss? College football? What else caught your eye?
So, quick hitters. NC State should not be an 8-point frickin' dog against Notre Dame.
Okay.
They barely beat UConn. So, yeah. Word of advice, I am a person that likes looking through the spreads. So if I use the spreads, I am going to go under the betting terminology. So if you hear me say that, why is Notre Dame an 8-point favorite? Take Notre Dame.
Yes, that's one thing I wanted to say about Rodney. He is the betting guru of Monday Evening Quarterback in the Nerd Zone. So when we pick our games for the NFL, you're going to hear him mention the spreads a lot. He's actually going to narrate a lot of those picks when we get to that part of the show. But, yeah, if you want to place your bets, listen to him, and maybe he can win you some money. Hopefully he throw it our way. No, I'm playing.
Hey. It's always helpful. It makes us grow. If anything, hit that subscribe button. It's $5 a month, and it helps us out.
But we'll get to that part before we close out the show. Man, we have so much to talk about. You enjoying this, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah. Yes, my man. I am. All right, so let me finish this up real quick.
Okay.
What else? Ohio State putting up only 20 against Indiana.
Well,
even though it was in Indiana, they look like a paper – or a quote-unquote paper tiger, you can say, because I don't think them putting up 23 against an Indiana team that is ranked almost dead last next to Northwestern and Rutgers in the Big Ten.
Okay.
They shouldn't have put up 20. That they shouldn't have won by 20. Period. Period. Stop. They shouldn't have won by 20.
I mean, look. Indiana always seems to be a challenge for Ohio State. Said this a couple years ago. So with that being said, I don't think Ohio State's going to be the team that they've been the last couple of years. They have a question mark at the most important position now. Like, my guy, who I contribute for on the Prime, TJ Hopkins, like my little brother. What's up, TJ? He said it best last year. Michigan always had better teams when it came to Michigan and Ohio State. Michigan always had better teams. Ohio State always had the edge at the most important position, which was what? Quarterback.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State, they're going to be more of a run-first team a lot, and I think a lot of teams now are going to double and try to eliminate Marvin Harrison Jr. because there's more tape on him now than there was last year. I mean, he was just crushing and destroying secondaries left and right, remember? But I get – so what you're implying is you weren't really sold on Ohio State.
Not for being the co-favorites to – make it to the Big Ten title game. I think it's now I put them at third and put Penn State over them.
Yeah, because Penn State handled their business. I'm glad you said that. You know, I think Penn State has the best duo of running backs in the country. Nicholas Singleton, Katron Allen, myself and Israel Rivera on College Football Showdown. We talked about that the other night. And they have more of a balanced attack offensively because, look, Sean Clifford wasn't necessarily the guy that was going to move the needle for the Penn State offense. They just kind of needed him to control things and not lose the football game, not turn the ball over, run the ball, find your tight end over the middle against a linebacker or a safety, and just let your defense handle the rest. Pretty much saying, move the hell out the way. We're going to do what we'll do. But I just saw more of a prolific attack. And I think Penn State's going to be more of a threat to Michigan this year in the Big Ten East than Ohio State will.
Yeah, I agree with that. Other things that caught my eye, I'm not going to talk about. I'm not talking about Auburn beating UMass, so yada-yada-yada. Pittsburgh beating Wofford, again, la-di-da. Cincinnati beat Eastern Kentucky. You got that game going on next week, which should be a freaking killer. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. I can see the ball flying all throughout the field, all over the field. I just think Cincinnati and Pittsburgh right now they're middle-of-the-pack teams, especially in their conferences. But the crazy thing is Cincinnati was just a playoff team
yeah.
a couple of years ago, the first non-Power 5 school to actually make the college football playoff. That's when they had Desmond Ridder and a guy you know very well. I think you've heard of him. Ahmad Gardner, nickname is Sauce, plays for the New York Jets. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, rookie of the year, possible MVP, next defensive MVP.
Yeah, I'm talking about that guy. yeah, so, okay.
And a final one I'll give you right now.
Okay.
Oh, two, we can both take a victory laps on this. We both called Wyoming.
We did.
Over Texas Tech. I'm taking a victory lap on this. Fresno State beating Purdue.
Yeah, I think that's another one that no one's really talking about because Colorado's really just been taking over the storylines and the media waves and the news, but yeah.
And the biggest upset of college football last night, or on Sunday, or Saturday.
Are you going where I think you're going?
The team out of that used to be a 1AA team, Texas State beating Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor's just not the same team that they were. Look, I like Dave Aranda. I think he's a good coach, but maybe he kind of fits the mold of being a better coordinator than he was a head coach because he was a part of some pretty good LSU teams under Ed Orgeron. Or Coach O, as he's known in the college football community. Yeah, Texas State just went in there and punched Baylor in the mouth. Did you see that catch that kid made?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went back and rewatched a lot of the highlights because I'm like, wait, Texas State beat Baylor? What?
Yeah, they punched him in the mouth. That's all it is. So We're going to take a little look ahead to week two. I'm looking at the schedule right here, Ronnie. Notre Dame, NC State, it's one of the first games on Saturday. What are you thinking about this one?
Notre Dame is going to roll them.
You think so?
First off, like I said, watching this NC State defense against UConn, either A, they were looking ahead to Notre Dame, B, they were sleepwalking. They did not care. That defense was giving up touchdowns left and right to NC State, to UConn. First off, UConn may be good. It may have been at home, but it's still UConn. They're not a football school. Yeah, you got away with a win because of a last second pick, but you should have lost that game. The spread right now is 7.5, Notre Dame by 15, by 21.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame now has more of a prolific attack offensively. Everything's been set in stone for them there. They've had strong offensive lines. They've been able to run the football. They've had decent weapons. And defensively, they've been strong. It's just been inconsistent play at quarterback. And, you know, Ian Book wasn't a guy that was going to lead them to the promised land. Let's just call it what it was and let's just say what it is. These are just the facts here. Now they have Sam Hartman, and I think with him, they're a borderline playoff team. You know, you've seen what he's done in the first 2 weeks, you know, and he's in more of a pro-like offense, so he's really getting himself ready for the NFL draft and trying to prove to these scouts that he's, you know, he's worthy of playing at the next level. But I see Notre Dame winning this game as well. I think they can win by at least 14 to 21 points. I just think across the board, North Carolina State doesn't have enough to match up with them.
No.
If that makes sense. So another one I'm looking at right here, Iowa State.
The Cyhawk.
Yeah, or as I like to call it, the Corn Bowl.
Or as I like to call it, the Bookie Bowl.
What did you think of Cade McNamara in
He's not 100%.
Yeah, you could tell. I'm glad I'm not the only one who...
191 for 2 touchdowns. I think he's going to be more healthy for this game. I think Iowa's a 4-point favorite. This game's never really under a touchdown. It's never under a field goal. I think Iowa wins, but I don't think they cover. I think Iowa State holds this game close because it's still a rivalry game, and it's in Iowa State. It's in
Yeah, I think Iowa wins the game by a field goal. I think their defense is going to rise to the occasion. Let's get into the two that I'm previewing this week. Tomorrow, Texas A&M in Miami. I announced it on social media. I'll always announce what I'm previewing on Twitter and on Instagram, so be on the lookout for that. Again, I'll promote those when we wrap up the show. Texas A&M in Miami, they're both kind of in the same type of situation because both schools just want to be relevant. You know, Texas A&M hired Jimbo Fisher to get them to the mountaintop, and he's yet to do that.
Yeah.
And Miami's just been inconsistent. Miami always has talent, but Miami hasn't really been that strong since 2017, Ronnie.
Yeah, and I didn't see enough with A&M to really hold this game tight. I think Miami comes in. It's at home, so that helps
them. It's in Miami. These two played last year at College Station. And Texas A&M beat them. I could see it being a different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, the game's 4 right now. A&M is favored by 4. I'm not honest to God touching this spread. But even with an SEC defense, I think this game gets high. This game hits the 60s. It's a 49-point over-under. I like the over in this. I think both teams' defenses are okay, but they're not outstanding. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, and it's going to be a freaking it's going to be a slugfest.
I can see that. And then the one that everybody's looking forward to, they played last year in week 2, and Texas could have beat Alabama if Quinn Ewers doesn't go down. Texas, Alabama, it's in Tuscaloosa. Ronnie, you and I have been talking about this game for months. It's finally here. When I look at Texas, okay, we always hear the moniker after a big win. Oh, Texas is back. And then they let everybody down a week or two later. Alabama, I think this is the one year where they come in and nobody necessarily fears them. You see what I'm saying? Because when you look at Alabama in all the years that they've won championships, they've always had that power running game, a great front seven, and they've always had a standout player in the secondary. Minkah Fitzpatrick, Patrick Surtain II, Clinton Dix, Mark Barron, just to name a few, right? Jalen Milroe, they didn't really need him to do too much the other day. He went 13 of 18 for 194 yards and three touchdowns. But I think the thing about Alabama in their offense now is they don't have stars playing wide receiver like we've seen in previous years. I'm talking about the Devontae Smiths, who won a Heisman just a couple years ago. Jerry Jeudy, Julio Jones, just to name a few. Calvin Ridley. I know I'm missing one, Ronnie. Help me here.
Brown.
Right. So just that's what I'm looking forward to seeing most. You know, how is this Alabama team going to push the ball up the field? And how is Steve Sarkisian going to game plan against Nick Saban? Because Nick Saban has had quite the amount of success against a lot of his assistants. I think he's only lost two games to guys who have coached under him. So he knows how to game plan for who once coached under him. Ronnie, I think we've talked enough college football. I'm going to give out a game ball real quick, and I think you know where I'm going with this, right?
Right. Can I say one thing about this Texas-Bama game?
Yeah, let me hear it.
We know nothing. We know nothing about this game.
Yeah.
Because as much as everyone's like, oh, Bama's favored by 7, how do you know that they're the best team right now? Because both teams, A, came out slow against their other opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And B, had enough of a lead that they can pull their starters out in the fourth quarter and show you nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. So there are a lot of question marks entering this game, and I can't wait to get my hands on this, and I preview it on Saturday. Be on the lookout for it. I'm giving out a game ball right now. And look, I can give it to so many guys, and unfortunately, I can only get it to one guy, and I'm giving it to Shedeur Sanders. He was 38 of 47, 510 yards passing, the most ever by a Colorado quarterback in university history. He threw 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and Colorado's upset win over TCU. So here's what we're going to do, what we are going to do now. We're going to go to the phone lines, hear what some of the great people have to say. We're going to pay some bills, then we're going to come back and discuss week one of the NFL. We're going to pick games for week one of the National Football League. Kickoff week is here. It's one of my favorite times of the entire football season. You have everything that transpired over the weekend, and we got the NFL returning on Thursday, Lions, Chiefs, which we'll discuss in a couple of minutes. We're going to go to the phone lines. This is Monday Evening the Quarterback with Ronnie Coombs. I'm Christian Simpson here on Spotify, YouTube, the Nerdport Network, Blog Talk Radio, and Twitch.
one of my favorite things to do for Monday Evening Quarterback. I love talking to the listeners and the supporters of the Daily Blitz, and I actually have somebody on the phone right now. Caller, you're on with the analyst on Monday Evening Quarterback. How can I help you?
How's it going, Christian? I just wanted to bring up some things, some free agents, you know, that have some big name free agents that are still out there. I'm wondering why, you know, maybe some of them are, you know, out there. Why it's taken, you know, it's been a couple weeks since the draft. Guys like Frank Clark, where would you think Frank Clark would fit into? What teams would you see him going to? And, you know, being a Detroit guy, I think he would be perfect fit in Detroit. He knows how to win. He may not be a great leader, but his talking on the field is what really matters, you know. So what do you think about some of these big name free agents that are still out there, and where do you think they're going to go?
Okay, now, before I answer, who am I speaking with? What's your name, and where are you calling from? I think you said you're from Detroit, and what's your name?
Mike,
how are you today?
Good.
Glad to have you on. Now, you asked about Frank Clark.
Yes.
I could see him with the Lions, you know, playing alongside Aiden Hutchinson. He'd be, you know, a veteran presence, a guy with championship pedigree, a guy who knows how to play, and a guy who knows how to play in big games at that. He would be good there. I could see him in Green Bay. I know you don't like to hear that as a Lions fan, but they need somebody to replace Za'Darius Smith because they haven't found anybody. Or I could see him going back to Seattle and kind of being that anchor up front for that young Seattle defense, or even the Rams, because the Rams have had a tough time replacing Von Miller. I'm not saying Frank Clark is in the same bracket as Von Miller, but why not? And he knows the NFC West. So those are the four teams I could see him going. I could see going after him.
Well, in the big games, he shows up like Von Miller, though. He's just not the name. He's not the sexy name.
Exactly.
And I could see him going back to Kansas City, too. But I guess here's another thing. I wanted to ask you about a couple teams.
Okay.
Just two teams really quick. See, I'm not sold that the Jets are going to be automatically good with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I don't think he was that good with the Packers last year. And I'm not sold that the Jets are even going to be that great with him. What do you think about that?
I think they'll be a wild card team, but I'm not ready to gift wrap them the division because I still think that's the Buffalo Bills division to lose. Buffalo's shown you that they've been the best team in the division since 2020, and team chemistry really makes a difference. You know what this almost reminds me of? This reminds me of Tampa Bay. Everybody was giving Tampa Bay the division that first season when Tom Brady got there. I'm like, hold on, what about Drew and what about the Saints? And what happens? The Saints beat them twice. I know Tom beat them once when it mattered most, and that was in the division round en route to a seventh Super Bowl. Still can't believe he's won that many. But, look, the Jets are going to be good, but I just, you know, I look at all the firepower in the AFC. Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Chargers, borderline, the Dolphins, you know, if Mike Tomlin can get it together in Pittsburgh, the Steelers, there's just so much firepower, Mike, in the AFC. So I get where you're coming from, but I'm also with you. I'm not ready to necessarily gift wrap them the AFC East just yet.
And my last thing for you is,
okay,
this is going to be off the radar, but I think the Falcons have improved immensely on defense. I think the Falcons are a team to watch out for, and if they can get any sort of play out of their quarterback, because I like what they did with their defense. I actually like what they did in the draft, drafting Robinson. I think solidifying that running game, which is already strong, will be good for them. And, you know, if Kyle Pitts can improve, I think the Falcons might be a little sneaky better this year, especially with all the improvements they made on the defense, and I know nobody else can say that, but personally, it's just, you know,
Look, man, this is MEQ. All thoughts are good thoughts. And that's not a bad prediction right there. They could kind of be that dark horse. I know everybody.
Division speaks.
You know, I know that everybody is saying the Saints are going to win that division, but, you know, the Falcons have really built up that core the last couple years. And I like the pick of Bijan Robinson as well. When the Falcons have a strong running game, they're a pretty tough out, Mike.
And I think the Bengals are going to miss Bates. Bates went to the Falcons. the Falcons also made a lot
no,
of
no, I have my mic on.
Pickups, you know, so no. That's all I have, but I appreciate it.
Well,
no,
Mike, before I let you go, there's one thing that I always ask every phone caller before.
Okay.
Now, my question to you is, what's your favorite thing about the Daily Blitz?
Basically, it's seeing what your thoughts are. You know, what your thoughts are, and you struggle with your thoughts. So, either way, you stick by with what you say. You ride with it. Not always right, but when you are, you know, you're on. I guess you're just authentic, and I really appreciate the knowledge you drop of football. You're a good guy, and yeah, I just enjoy the knowledge that you drop, and I enjoyed reading your articles and stuff like that.
Mike, I really appreciate those kind words, and I also like to say, anytime you want to come on the MEQ, the doors are always wide open. Man, thank you so much for joining me on Monday Evening Quarterback, and I hope you enjoy both the NFL and college football season.
You have a good night, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Man, that's one of my favorite parts of recording a podcast, is being able to, you know, talk to everybody that that listens to the show. That's why I played that music before we went to the phone lines. The People, that was The People by the Chicago legend Common, off the album Finding Forever, which came out in 2000. So shout out to Common Sense. We taught college. We did one phone call. We're going to have another one before we end the show.
Yeah,
Ronnie, you know what time it is.
It's time for the NFL.
It's time for the NFL. The last time we saw a meaningful NFL game, it was the Kansas City Chiefs. It was the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Chiefs became champions for the second time in, what, 3 years? With 38-35 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. So now the Chiefs are looking to put that title to the fence. But I think the road to them trying to repeat, it might be a little tough this year because we don't know what's going to happen with Chris Jones, Ronnie.
No, we don't. We do not know what's going to happen with Chris Jones. We don't know what's going to happen with anything because the AFC is stacked.
Yeah, the AFC really is stacked. Ronnie, you ready to pick games for week one of the NFL?
Oh, you know I am.
All right, you got the list up?
Yeah, hold up. Just actually fixing my headphones, because for some reason my headphones decided to get wonky.
You sure
it's the headphones? Oh, it's the headphones, because one ear is now only working. Go figure.
Oh, God.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Switch to all reliables.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah. All right. So, I just have to pull up the ones that you're actually doing.
Yep.
You're not doing, I should say.
Yeah, the ones I'm not giving previews for. And to everybody listening, you're probably wondering how come I'm not giving previews or picking winners for those particular games, because I want you to go see what I say about it on the website. And it gives me clicks. So I'm doing what Kirk Herbstreit does on College Game Day. Like, Kirk will pick every game except for the one he's calling because he has to be neutral.
Well, and it's not like I'm really showing anything off. It's the Thursday game and the Monday game. So we still have the Sunday games to talk about.
No, this one I'm not doing for Sunday. I sent you the list, bro.
I have. I'm looking at it, unless you sent me something different, because you sent me three different lists. Oh, okay. The Sunday night game. La-di-da, of course.
Exactly. All right. You ready to kick this off, Ronnie?
So you know what? While we do that, let me run through what my opinions are, and then we'll jump into yours.
Okay.
Not your opinions, but like then we'll jump into the games that you're actually going to pick.
Okay.
So the three games that we're not doing is Chiefs Lions, Cowboys Giants, Bills Jets. The Thursday,
yeah.
Sunday night, and Monday night game. La-di-da.
Yeah. So when I look at the Lions and the Chiefs, I think the key for the Lions, not only do they have to slow the game down and not get into a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, they need to do all they can to limit number 87. Travis Kelce, because Ronnie, I don't know if you watch him like I do, but Travis isn't necessarily a route runner. It's almost like he just kind of throws his body out there, and then all of a sudden, he's wide open, and Mahomes is getting him the ball. Two, do the Chiefs have other reliable pass catchers outside of Travis Kelce? Hopefully that's Justin Ross, because I think he made the team.
Yes, he did.
Taken. So I think he's going to be good this year. When they get Kadarius Toney, they're going to use him in that Mecole Hardman role, or they'll use Sky Moore in that Mecole Hardman role. But
so,
Breaking,
Toney is going to be good to go.
Oh, he is playing?
He is going to play against the Lions.
Oh, okay. And then they also have Sky Moore. Everybody keeps saying, watch out for Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but he doesn't have back-to-back games like that. Let's just call it what it is. The Lions come in with a lot of hype. They're actually the favorite to win the NFC North this year. The NFC North is wide open, as it's been in quite some time. I preview this one on Thursday before the game kicks off, so be on the lookout.
And under my stats, the Lions are going to be outclassed. As much as Detroit is supposed to be the team that wins the North, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's the defense, as much as there is. I originally had this game lined up as a 10-point favorite. It opened up at a 7.5. It's down to 6.5. I like Kansas City, period, and them rolling this game. They're going to win. I think they'll win by more than a touchdown.
Okay. So do you see it being a high-scoring game, or what? Do you see the Lions?
Yeah, I see the Lions getting – I see like a 21-31 game. Something like within that range to where I think the Chiefs are even without their interior line on defense, I think they have the better team. Because let's face it, when has the Chiefs ever had a stellar defense?
I'll say this. When they beat the 49ers, when Mahomes won his first Super Bowl, that Chiefs team reminded me of the 06 Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
The offense was great.
The defense was
You had an MVP-level quarterback. You had a future Hall of Fame coach, just like the Colts did with Tony Dungy. And when it mattered most, the Chiefs turned it on. And that's what they did that year. Yeah, if the Chiefs can play as consistently great on the defensive side of the ball as they are on the offensive side of the ball, this is the scariest team of football, and there's no question about it.
Yep. All right. Next game that we're not going to really talk about, Cowboys-Giants.
Good old-fashioned NFC East showdown. The Cowboys have really dominated this matchup the last couple of years. Dak Prescott. He just seems to ascend every time he plays the New York Giants because he loves playing them at MetLife. He loves playing them at AT&T Stadium. I think he's won his last 4 or 5 starts against the New York Giants. When I look at Dallas, it's all about what team do we see? Like, that just always seems to be the million-dollar question mark with the Cowboys. Like, are they going to be the team that we saw absolutely destroy Minnesota last season, and then they have a letdown against Green Bay, or they struggle against Jacksonville, which they did at the end of the year, and Jacksonville actually beat them. And they, a couple weeks later, they turn around and they send Tom Brady home and into retirement.
Yeah, right?
So that's my thing with the Cowboys. Like, which Dallas team do we see, and which Dak shows up? Because let's just face it, Dak isn't the type of quarterback that can win a shootout. He's not a guy like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or Russell Wilson. God, getting my Russells confused, Ronnie.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, you know what happens. Or Justin Herbert. Like, Dak has to throw the ball at least 30 times for this team to win. And they have to lean heavily on the running game. I love this Cowboys defense because it's homegrown. They gave Trayvon Diggs that contract extension, paired him up with Stephon Gilmore on the other side. And Dallas has my favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year this year, and that's Micah Parsons. Now, looking at the Giants side, they made the playoffs last year. They were one of the feel-good stories. They won their first playoff game since Super Bowl 46. When they beat the Patriots. But again, it all depends on what Daniel Jones do we see. Like, this team goes as Daniel Jones goes. They got him some weapons. Yes, they drafted Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee. They acquired Darren Waller from the Las Vegas Raiders. And defensively, they were able to re-sign Dexter Lawrence, which I thought was huge because he's their best defensive player. This is going to be a close game. I could see the Giants hanging around. I think this is going to be determined with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I preview this one on Wednesday before I go on the Nerd Zone. Be on the lookout for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no, as much as I hate to say it, there's no real preview for this. It's really, is Dak going to come back and not be Dak? Because can Daniel Jones, after getting that big contract, now be the leader of this team?
Right. And then looking at the weapons, you know, CeeDee Lamb, is he ready to climb that ladder? Now they got him some help. And Brandon Cooks, and I think he's actually going to be the X factor in this game because he gives Dak, what, a guy that can stretch the field. He's never had that type of guy. Michael Gallup has been his, you know, underneath guy, his Randall Cobb / Wes Welker type of guy, right? But, you know, he hasn't had a guy, you know, that can get deep down the field, and he's going to have that in Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, and then finally, we have the Jets versus the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I knew the minute I saw this on the schedule when the schedules were released to everybody in May, that I was going to get my hands on this one. Buffalo, they enter as the best team in the AFC East. They've won this division the last 3 years. Who knows what would have happened last season? You know, I'll give them a little benefit of the doubt because it was a tough year for them last year. I mean, it was almost like day and night. When they first started, you remember that game last year, Ronnie, when they played the Rams and how they just went to California and punched the Rams in the mouth?
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to have to do to set the tone on Monday night against the Jets. You know, as the season went on, look, I get injuries are part of the game. Josh Allen hurt that elbow against the Jets, actually. It was the one that the Jets won at MetLife.
Yep.
And it just seemed like after that, he was never the same. Like, Josh was playing at an MVP level when he went down, before he hurt the elbow. So that's number one. Two, they lost Von Miller. Von Miller was brought to Buffalo to do what? To put them over the top. You saw what he did for the Rams. And, I mean, his impact was being felt. And what Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware was doing for Von Miller. That's what Von Miller is doing for Greg Rousseau. So that's number two, them losing Von Miller. And lastly, I just don't think this football team was necessarily able to turn that switch on when DeMar Hamlin went down. Glad he's back and glad he's going to be playing again. We're glad that he's clear. But that was a scary moment in Cincinnati back in January on that Monday night. And I just don't think the Bills were able to really regroup. I know. I don't think I would be able to either after seeing my teammate on the field lose his life pretty much and then have to be resuscitated back to life because I've been saying this since January, and I'll say it again. If Von Miller is on the field in that playoff game against Cincinnati, Buffalo wins that football game. We could talk about Buffalo potentially coming out the AFC because Buffalo beat Kansas City earlier in the year. They beat
–
go ahead.
The thing is that no one's talking about is you are going to be without Von Miller for another 4 weeks.
Yeah, but this is why you got Leonard Floyd. And I'm
right.
not Leonard Floyd is no Von Miller. I mean, Von Miller is a future Hall of Famer. But Leonard Floyd can hold down that pass rush until Von gets back.
Right. But on the same hand, too, you got to DeMar Hamlin ain't just stepping on that field. He's second string. He lost his starting spot.
Right, from a precautionary standpoint.
From a precautionary standpoint. So he ain't stepping on that field anytime soon unless there's something that can be done, like if the scheme says it.
Right, right. So Buffalo, I'll say this about Buffalo. I think they're under a pressure cooker because if they don't make it to at least the AFC Championship this year, changes are going to be made. I could see them potentially firing Sean McDermott because, hate to say it, but you know who Buffalo is turning into? They're turning into the AFC version of the Cowboys. Great in the regular season, but come postseason, they just can't get over the top. And they have the potential to get over the top. They have a top three quarterback in Josh Allen. They have a top five wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. My issue with Buffalo has always been the lack of balance. And I said this about North Carolina when we were talking football, when we were talking Drake May. They depend on the quarterback way too much. Like, if they can run that football, I think Buffalo's going to be a scary team. Now, let's jump to the other side, the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is making his New York Jets debut. There's been a lot of hype surrounding the Jets. He and Garrett Wilson seem to be on par with one another. Has Breece Hall. He has Dalvin Cook. If anything, I think the Jets are under more pressure to win this game than Buffalo. Because
oh, I fully agree with that. They
the Jets
definitely
need to show that they can hang.
To win this game. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's after you have – oh, they're the team from Hard Knocks. They're this, they're that. Well, yeah, guess what? Game on now.
Not only that, I just feel the Jets need to show that they can hang with the upper echelon.
Right.
Not just in the division, but in the AFC. Because the AFC, like you just said, it's completely stacked. It's going to be an emotional scene. It's the anniversary of 9/11. 22 years. I can't believe it. God bless those who lost their lives 22 years ago on that fatal day, unfortunately. I think Buffalo, they're going to have to duplicate what they did against the Rams last year. Don't let the Jets hang around. Put this game away as early as possible. The Jets, if I'm the Jets, I'm attacking the middle of the Buffalo defense because there's no Tremaine Edmonds. Matt Milano is now the middle linebacker for Buffalo. The Jets have to run the football. Like, Aaron Rodgers can't throw the ball more than 30 times a game because he's older now. I mean, he's pushing 40 this year. I previewed this one on Friday. Be on the lookout.
Jets run the ball down Buffalo's throat, and I see them winning. They're dogs going into this game. It's Monday night. The lights are bright. You have a team that, yes, as much as it is a rookie-style team, they ain't rookies.
Yeah.
So you have a year under that with Garrett Wilson. You have Breece Hall back. Two people that would have been back-to-back rookie of the years. Because, let's face it, as much as everyone jokes about it, Breece Hall should have won that until Garrett Wilson took it. Until he
I
got
mean,
hurt.
Look, even if Breece did what he did, let's say he were healthy and the Jets continued to switch quarterbacks, Garrett Wilson caught passes from three different quarterbacks, and he was still productive.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. I'm just saying as though Breece was running away with that until he tore his freaking
ACL.
ACL, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the three that I'm not giving previews for. Find out on the site who I have winning the games. Now it's time to go on to the other games. For week one. Ronnie, you ready?
Yep, and in all honesty, we can probably hit some of these really quick.
Okay.
And don't really need to go too much into it. First one on the list, the Carolina Panthers are 3.5-point dogs to the Atlanta Falcons.
Both teams have some potential. I mean, both teams are young. It's a young quarterback matchup. Bryce Young making his debut. Desmond Ritter's the starter.
They have Bijan Robinson. There's Drake London. There's Kyle Pitts. So, you know, the future is bright for the Atlanta Falcons, right? Carolina, new head coach. Carolina played hard last year. Like, they really did. I could see points being scored in this one. This one can go either way. I'm going to go – I'm really trying to think. That's how stumped I am on this one. I'm going to go – all right, I'm picking, I'm thinking, Ronnie. I'm going to take the Falcons here, field goal. Because I know the Falcons are banking on Desmond Ridder to take that next step. And the Falcons are already one of the best teams at running the football. And they're going to show that on Sunday. I think the Panthers, they're going to miss DJ Moore early on. I mean, he did a lot for that offense. He was traded to the Bears. I'm going to take the Falcons in this one, Ronnie.
Falcons by a touchdown. Bijan's going to rush for 150.
Okay.
As much as they're saying, oh, well, Bijan's not starting, bull. Bijan is going, this is going to be a breakout game where he will go, is going to be named the starter.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, Bijan takes over this game. Next on the list. Cleveland versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a 2.5-point favorite. Cincinnati will have back Joe Burrow.
But how healthy is he?
There's the question.
Because, look, if I'm a Cleveland pass rusher, I'm testing that calf early on. And here's the thing. Whenever these two play, Cleveland always seems to present a challenge to Cincinnati in Cleveland. The game's in Cleveland, right?
Yes, it is.
Cincinnati's going to be tested right out the gates because, number one, we're going to see how good is that offensive line. That's been the problem with the Bengals the last couple years is a consistent offensive line and keeping Joe Burrow upright on his feet. And I'll say it once again. I said it a couple months ago, a couple years ago as well. If Joe Burrow isn't consistently protected, this is another Andrew Luck situation waiting to happen. So they're going to be tested with that offensive line. You're facing Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett's one of the best defensive players in the National Football League. And Cleveland made a sneaky good pickup by acquiring Za'Darius Smith. So that pass rush is going to be able to get home. Then I'm looking at Cincinnati's secondary. There's no Jesse Bates now. He's in Atlanta, who we just talked about. Cleveland has Amari Cooper, not the quickest, but he's a tactical route runner, and he knows how to pick his spots. I'm going Cleveland with the upset, Ronnie.
I'm going Cincinnati, but the one thing I like out of this is Ja'Marr Chase anytime touchdown. He will get it. He will get in the end zone.
You heard the man. This is why he's the betting guru of Monday evening quarterback, but I'm taking Cleveland in the upset.
I got to go against you on that one, and this is why we're going to have fun on Wednesday with the jersey picks.
Oh, God.
Oh, and join us on Wednesday to hear how that game's going to play out.
Yeah. Next game, man. Stop.
All right. The Jags take on the Colts. The Jags are a 5-point favorite.
Looking forward to seeing Anthony Richardson play. There's a lot of hype surrounding this kid. Everybody's looking at, you know, these jump throws he's making. But what they fail to realize is he makes those jump throws in a game. Not only is it intercepted, he's potentially benched. Right. Jacksonville, they're looking to climb that ladder, and they're getting a boost offensively because Calvin Ridley is finally back on the field. Can't wait to see what Trevor Lawrence does in year two. I like Jacksonville. I just think they have too much for the Colts. These division games are always tough, and they always seem to present that challenge, that tough challenge to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm definitely taking Jacksonville in this one.
This game's not being played home in Jacksonville. Jacksonville wins.
Yeah.
If this was in Jacksonville, I'd be a little more head-scratching because apparently Indy likes to mess with Jacksonville at home.
No, Jacksonville always punches Indy in the mouth in Jacksonville.
That's true. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if this was in Jacksonville, I might think about taking Indy, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Tampa Bay takes on Minnesota. Minnesota's a 6-point favorite. Minnesota rolls. It's a 1 o'clock game with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Minnesota, I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back this year because defenses now have that full year of film on that offense. Justin Jefferson, he's the best wide receiver in the National Football League. Tampa Bay, they got 3 years from Tom Brady. Now they go from the greatest ever to do it to Baker Mayfield. What a drop-off. I'm taking Minnesota. I don't think anything else really has to be said.
Again, it's 1 o'clock with Kirk Cousins. Kirk does not lose the 1 o'clock games.
No, he doesn't.
Next, New Orleans is home against Tennessee.
This is an interesting one. Tennessee, they had the worst passing attack in the National Football League last season. You trade away A.J. Brown. Why? I don't know. When you could have extended him, and he goes and he does some big things in Philadelphia. For everybody that's listening to me, you know, I've never trusted Ryan Tannehill. The Saints, well, first, back to the Titans. They go and they get DeAndre Hopkins. And everybody's saying, oh, this is where wide receivers go to lose their career because the Titans have had Randy Moss, they've had Andre Johnson, and they had Julio Jones a couple years ago. All three of those guys I just listed were way past their primes. DeAndre is still in his physical prime right now, and if he can stay healthy, he's going to be productive. It's a division he knows, and he only signed with the Titans to get back at the Texans. Changed my mind. That's all it is at the end of the day. The Saints, they've just been an okay team the last couple of years. And look, Ronnie, it's tough to play. It's tough to replace a Hall of Famer, well, a future Hall of Famer in Drew Brees, because they haven't had that stability and that consistency at quarterback. Now they do. They signed Derek Carr, but is Michael Thomas going to be healthy this year? I think that's the million-dollar question. They're going to be without Alvin Kamara for the first three games of the season. I just think the Saints are the better team coming into this game. I like New Orleans.
New Orleans by a field goal. I mean, it's a 3-point spread. Yeah, New Orleans wins by a touchdown. They're going to – I mean, you say about Thomas, but yet you have one of the runner-up for Rookie of the Year and Chris Olave on the other side.
Look at him. Yeah, you definitely can't forget him. But here's the thing. I just don't know about Tennessee. Because between the two quarterbacks, I just trust Ryan Tannehill. I mean, Derek Carr so much more than I do.
Oh, and trust me, the one thing is my mind will change immediately if Tannehill gets hurt and Will Levis goes in.
Definitely. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the Saints defense, how they try and limit Derrick Henry. Look, they're going to come out probably with an 8 or 9-man box. They're going to sit everybody on that line of scrimmage, and they're going to dare Ryan Tannehill to throw that football. I'm definitely taking the Saints, and it's in the dome.
Good old Drew Brees arm.
Yep.
All right, 49ers take on the Steelers. San Francisco is a 2.5-point favorite, but it's in Pittsburgh.
I like this matchup. It's the matchup of the last two defensive player of the years. T.J. Watt won it in 2021. Nick Bosa won it in 2022. Bosa is expected to play. It's the first full year of the Brock Purdy experience. He is playing, right, in this one?
He is, as of right now, he is officially the one.
Okay. I think this is going to be the lowest scoring game of the day. I think this is going to be defensive-oriented, physical, hard-hitting. You have two old-school teams. Lots of Hall of Famers have played for both of these teams. I'm taking the 49ers in a close one. I just trust Brock Purdy a little more than I do Kenny Pickett.
If this was in San Francisco, I'd be fully behind that. But it's in Pittsburgh. And the Pittsburgh faithful are going to show up for the home opener. And I think Pickett takes that next step, and I got Pittsburgh to win this game. I got Pittsburgh because there's no cover. It's 2.5. The fact that this game might end in 2 points is ludicrous. So money line Pittsburgh, take the plus money. I think Pittsburgh actually comes out and surprises everybody.
But, okay, how healthy is Brock Purdy, though? I think that's the question.
I think he's going to be 80%.
Ooh, well, if he's going to be 80%, I might have to switch.
Remember, he had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, so I think, honestly, you know what? I'm sticking with it. I'm taking the 49ers.
But the one thing that San Francisco can do that no one, even with Brock, is they throw bubble screens all the time. So they can throw those bubble screens to Debo, and he can break a 60-yard.
And I want to see Brandon Ayuk. I think he is the X factor for this 49ers offense because he's their best pure wide receiver. Whereas, you know, Debo does a little bit of everything. But now with Christian McCaffrey there, Debo can focus more on just being that wide receiver. I always call Debo Samuel the Joker of the 49er offense because he was doing a little bit of everything, lining up in the slot, lining up wide on the perimeter, stretching the field, going over the middle, taking handoffs in the backfield, out the backfield, running jet sweeps. So he really was a Swiss Army knife for this entire 49ers offense.
So, yeah, and I mean, the one thing is the Steelers are going to play, I bet you they're going to play within 7 yards of the line. The front guys are going to play 7 yards and not let anything onto the outside of the field. So can Brock Purdy, the big question is can Brock Purdy throw 10 yards down the field?
Right. But I just think that 49ers defense is going to step up and make a play. They're the best defense in the
league. Oh, I agree with that. But that's the thing. The question is, it's not about either defense. Either defense is going to show up. The question is Kenny Pickett can throw 15 yards down the field. Can Brock?
Right.
Can Brock hit those open zone reads where someone's sitting in the middle that's 15 yards down the field for a first down?
Yeah.
Or is Purdy going to have to dink and dunk the entire game because he's not 100%.
Exactly.
And without Trey Lance, now you have to look at Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
So that's my worry. I think Brock they're saying he's going to play. I think Brock is maybe a week or two away from being 100% healthy. So I'm taking Pittsburgh in this.
Okay.
All right, next game, and honestly, a game that no one's going to give a shit about. It's the game that's going to be bet. If you bet this game, it's going to get turned off on Red Zone. The Arizona Cardinals take on the Washington. Fuck the Commanders. They're the Redskins. They're going to go back, I guarantee you.
Hey, he said it, not me. Ronnie, should I say it?
Ain't nobody care? Yeah, go ahead.
Ain't nobody care. I'm taking the Commanders.
Yeah, Washington rolls. They might not be the worst team in the league, in all honesty. We'll get to that in about 4 or 5 picks. Next game. Speaking of don't nobody care, the Texans take on the Ravens. Ravens are a 10-point favorite.
So the Ravens are an interesting story because last year, yes, they made the playoffs. My thing is this. They weren't mentally tough enough to close out games. Like, that was the issue I had with them because I think they blew about 6 leads last year. They blew the lead against Miami. They blew a 20-point lead, a 17-point lead against Buffalo. They blew a 10-point lead against the Giants. I believe they blew a lead against Jacksonville, and they blew a lead against Pittsburgh. Those are 5 leads right there where those are victories that they, you know, that they capture. We're talking about them being one of the, you know, top 3 teams in the AFC last year. But again, it all depends on the health of Lamar Jackson. He signed his contract. He got his money. They put weapons around him. Now it's time to show why he was an MVP. A couple years ago, the Texans, it's the debut of the D'Amico Ryans, Will Anderson, their first defensive player that they took, finally got somebody because they haven't had an impact player on the defensive side of the ball since J.J. Watt. and CJ Stroud is making his debut, and you're going up against a Baltimore defense. I like Baltimore here.
Baltimore wins by, I don't like the spread being 10, but I think Baltimore wins by 13.
I could see this being close, Ronnie. I really could. My thing with Houston is, what Texans team is going to show up? You know, that's the million-dollar question right there. But I also look at, you know, can the Ravens put this game away? Because that's the problem that I had with them. I could see Houston making it interesting, but then Baltimore pulls away in the second half. And I think Lamar is going to show why he was an MVP and why he just got the money that he got. They finally put weapons around him. They're going to try to keep him in the pocket a little bit more. This Ravens team goes as far as Lamar Jackson takes them. I like Baltimore.
Yeah, so do I. OBJ, anytime touchdown. I'm saying that right now.
Yeah, he's got OBJ. He has Mark Andrews. He has Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman. That's a lot better than the receiving core that he's had the last couple of years.
All right, Packers versus the Bears.
It's a new chapter of the oldest rivalry in the National Football League because a lot of people in my age group have only seen the Bears face one of two quarterbacks. One is in the Hall of Fame. That's Brett Favre. And the other is playing for the New York Jets now. That's Aaron Rodgers. So now the Jordan Love era officially begins. I'm going to take the Bears in this one because we know a little more about Justin than we do Jordan. I think it's going to be close. I think it'll come down to the fourth quarter. Both these teams are headed in different directions right now. Both teams are younger at the most important position, which is quarterback. I'm going to take the Chicago Bears here.
Yeah, that's the problem. As much as we know more about Fields, the more we know about Fields. I'm going with the unknown. Give me the Packers.
Okay.
I actually like the Packers to win the division. So
really?
Yeah, I really do. Oh. I think the Minnesota, like you said, Minnesota's going to take a step back. I think Detroit might be too big for their head, might have too much of an ego going on. Mm-hmm. I think Green Bay doesn't have to be the greatest, but I think everyone's insult is not looking at what Love might be able to do.
True. It's a new look defense for the Bears against a new look offense of the Packers. I just want to see who can capitalize.
Oh, and the other thing is now we got to see what the OC actually was able to do, because you know he was not. They were not calling plays. It was all the offensive coordinator was Rodgers, and when it came to the Packers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like the only reason he's not pulling rank in, as a Jet is because Hackett's there, because he's friends with Hackett.
Right.
That's it. Like, let's face it. All right, let's get to the 4. That was the start of the 4 o'clock games. Next 4 o'clock game, CBS going out to the West Coast. Raiders taking on Denver. Denver's a 3.5-point favorite. In Mile High, beginning of the year, everyone decides to be at elevation. Be's horrible. Give me Denver.
You know, Denver, they're an interesting wild card because they were absolutely terrible last year. I honestly think they really tried to damage Russell Wilson because they tried to turn him into something he wasn't, which was a pocket passer. And that's not what he is. He's a guy that likes to move the pocket, make a throw on the run, and he's a guy that likes to make it happen with his feet. They fired Nathaniel Hackett. This was the worst offense in the National Football League last year. Now you bring in Sean Payton, and Sean Payton is one of the best offensive-minded guys in the NFL, and a couple of years ago, I predicted that these two were going to be together, but in New Orleans, but they're in Denver. Denver's just a better team. Division games are tough, though. Like, they really are, because the Raiders beat them twice last year. I like Denver, but don't be surprised if the Raiders make this a game.
If this wasn't an elevation, I would agree. If this was in Vegas, I could see this being a completely different way. But it's also a new quarterback with Jimmy G.
Yeah.
So let's see how good Jimmy G actually is. But I think Denver in altitude, usually after 4 weeks, then you start seeing people adjust to the altitude. And, yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Next game, the Eagles take on the Patriots. The Patriots are on it's Tom Brady retirement day in New England. But Philly is a 4-point favorite.
Yeah, isn't that weird? You know, for the first time in I don't know how long, we're going to have a Sunday of football without Peyton Manning or Tom Brady on the field. Philly, the defending NFC champs, I think, you know, they're trying to become the first team in the history of the NFC East to win the division in back-to-back seasons. New England, they just haven't been able to climb the ladder offensively, nor are they putting weapons around Mac Jones. You know, Belichick is still stuck in his Brady days, and I love Bill Belichick. That's not a jab at him, but you can only do so much with those speedy receivers. Every team either has a possession guy, they have a guy that can stretch the field, they have a slot guy that can work the middle, and they have a tight end. You know, New England, like, once again, they're going to win games this year with running the football, Mac Jones controlling the clock, and their defense and special teams. I just think Philly is the far more superior team, and I'm taking the Eagles here.
Here's the thing. If Mac Jones does not come out good, when does Bill Belichick pull the trigger and put in Corral?
Yeah. That's a question that needs an answer, but my thing is this. Like, New England's going to be well-coached defensively, because what does Bill Belichick like to do?
Oh, he's a defensive guy. But here's the thing. He wanted Matt Corral in the draft. They overshot him and took – they overshot Bill – the Kraft overshot Bill and took Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones.
So, and then that's why they took Zappe later on, because Corral got taken. He wanted Corral earlier. So this is a quarterback that Bill Belichick wanted.
Oh, he wanted Mac, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He didn't want Mac Jones. He wanted Matt Corral.
Yeah, but my thing, just looking at this game overall.
I got the Eagles winning too. So.
Yeah, I do too, because I just don't think the Patriots have the talent to keep up with a team like the Philadelphia Eagles.
Also, what is Bill Belichick known for in the first 4 weeks of the season?
Running the ball.
Playing it like it's four preseason games.
Yeah, he is. And what's another thing he's also known for doing?
Well, running the ball, yeah. Taking away
your best option and forcing you to beat him elsewhere. So he's going to put a lot of bracket coverages on A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and he's going to force and honestly, you got to play contained defense, because Jalen can run on you.
Yeah, he can. So I'm setting that edge. I'm coming out in that wide nine. And Matthew Judon against Lane Johnson, that's going to be a matchup to watch on Sunday. I think that's what's going to determine the outcome of this game.
And we got two more games.
Yep.
The Miami Dolphins, L.A. Chargers. Miami is going to be, by the way, Miami is actually going to be without Mostert for 4 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that.
Go ahead.
I previewed this one yesterday. Last year when these two met, Miami was neutralized. That was the best defensive performance of the Chargers season, because the Chargers didn't have a great defense last year, which is a surprise, because Brandon Staley is a defensive minded guy. The one thing I was looking forward to seeing in this game was Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard going up against these Chargers wide receivers, right? Like, this Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard tandem, it's almost like Revis and Cromartie-esque. Remember those days, Ronnie?
Yep.
We know what the Chargers offense is going to do, but it comes down to that Chargers defense. I trust Miami's defense a little bit more. I'm taking the Dolphins. I think they get a big win to open up the season on the road on Sunday.
I agree with that. I think even without it, Miami is – now, here's a question. The big question in all this is, how healthy is Tua?
Yeah.
You could take all the jiu-jitsu and learning how to fall differently to not hurt yourself. Judo, jiu-jitsu, it doesn't matter when it's live games and you got people gunning for you. I like Miami. Miami with the points.
Yeah, because when they played last year, the Chargers really condensed the Dolphins' game plan. They were able to get pressure on Tua. They were able to stop the run, which has been a problem for them, and they kept everything underneath. So they were able to really contain Tyreek Hill and keep Jalen Waddle in check as well.
Right. Yeah. All right, final game, and really, who gives a shit about this game? The Rams take on the Seahawks. Seattle's a 5-point favorite.
I like Seattle.
No Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I definitely like Seattle. Want to see what Geno does in his second full year as a starter. Bobby Wagner is back. I really like what the Seattle defense is building, especially with their secondary. I like Seattle. I don't think anything else needs to say.
Here's your worst team in the NFL.
Really?
By Halloween, will we see Stafford, Kupp, and Donald traded?
Only time will tell.
Because what draft picks do the Rams have this? They have one this year. They have a first round this year that they traded for last year. So if you're telling me they can get a couple twos, maybe a one for Donald?
Oh, you could definitely get about maybe two number one picks and a number two pick for Aaron Donald.
And what, Kupp can get a one easy or at least a two twos and a five or two and a, like a two or three and a five for next year's draft?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you, I mean, and then you trade away and what? If not the worst, Arizona would probably be the worst. Rams are second. You then turn around and get a Drake May.
I could see that. I could see that. But, yeah, the Rams are just trapped right now. I'm glad they were able to get a championship out of drafting and sacrificing their draft capital. Trading and sacrificing their draft capital. But this is what happens. Like, I'll say this. Before they played that Super Bowl against the Bengals, I said if they didn't win a Super Bowl between that night and the next couple of years, they would have been considered a bust. Because look at how much they had to give up to get all those pieces, and look at what happened.
They got a ring.
Yeah, but at what cost?
And a $4 billion stadium.
Yeah. I like Seattle in this one. I just think Seattle's a far more talented team.
I think, and also, like I said, I think the Rams, by Halloween, by the trade deadline, will be getting rid of a lot of their, especially if they start two, if they have a 2-6 record, everyone's gone.
I could see it.
Even 3-5. I think everyone's going to be gone by then because they're going to give up on the season, try to tank to get the first to second pick because they have a pick this year that they got. I think it might be their pick. And they'll get a quarterback.
I could see it.
Or they'll use everything they can to try to get up 2-2. Like, they'll use all that, bundle it so they can get the quarterback and they get, like, a Drake May or a Caleb.
Yeah, those are definitely the two best quarterbacks coming in, too. Or you could even go, what's the other kid's name from Notre Dame?
Oh, Sam Hart. Sam, but Sam you're not going to get in the first round. Or late. You can get him late first round. I think Sam is either going to be a late first rounder, second rounder, because he's got the skill, but he doesn't have the mental game yet. That was shown in Wake Forest.
Yeah, I agree.
But with that being said, those are our games.
Yes, we just picked for week one. We're going to go back to the phone lines real quick. I'm going to answer some questions, and then I'm going to end the show by promoting how you can keep up with me on the airwaves and on social media, and that'll be the first episode of Monday Evening Quarterback for the season. But we're going to go back to the phone lines now. Once again, this is Monday Evening Quarterback. I'm Christian Simpson on Spotify, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, the Nerdport Network, Twitch. This is hashtag Daily Blitz Radio.
It's one of my... Man, football season is here. College just started the other day. The NFL starts on Thursday. And now I'm doing one of my favorite things on Monday Evening Quarterback. I love when people love to come on MEQ and talk some football with me. And I have a caller on the line right now. Caller, you're on with the analyst on Monday Evening Quarterback. What's on your mind?
Yo, what's good?
All right, so who am I talking with first? Because remember, man, this is
Mike,
what's going on?
Mike, long-time follower, first-time caller.
Man, glad to have you, and long-time follower at that. Look, better later than never. Talk to me. What's on your mind football-wise?
Man, I'll tell you what's on my mind. Number one is getting this Joe Burrow deal signed in Cincinnati. That'll be number one to me.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I'll tell you this. I think he's the second best quarterback in football. I think he's the best quarterback in football, not named Patrick. What he's done for this organization, and just closely following him when he was in college to now, it's the same guy. You know, I remember that year when he won the Heisman for LSU, right? And it just seemed like every single week he was carving defenses up left and right. You're seeing the same thing in the NFL. He's carving defenses up left and right. And it helps that he has his running mate with him in Ja'Marr Chase. And that was a pretty good tandem in college and a great now in the NFL. Mike, I'm going to tell you this. And you're the Bengal fan, so you correct me if I'm wrong here. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, they kind of remind me a little bit of Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. They just have that chemistry like Peyton and Marvin did. And I know Peyton's a Hall of Famer.
I like that comparison.
And I know Marvin's a Hall of Famer. But, I just see Joe knows he can get the ball to Ja'Marr at any time. And Ja'Marr always says, okay, let me position myself so I can make a play on the ball because I know Joe's going to look my way.
That's right. I think it'll be interesting to see this year. I think it was a little new for him last year, being double covered on every play. So, it's going to be crucial for the Bengals to keep. I don't know if it's going to be able to happen, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, but when a guy is getting double teamed like that, this is when they have to This is when they have to improvise and kind of find different ways to get the ball. So I could see them incorporating Ja'Marr on a lot of short, quick passes, a lot of screens, maybe stuff going over the middle, because he reminds me a lot of Odell. I think he's a more explosive Odell Beckham, and I'm not just saying that because they're both LSU alumni, but I just see the way he's able to break and how he's able to free himself and how he's able to kind of just move around in the open field. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, I think there you go.
Beckham's house, it reminds me of a young T.O. I remember watching T.O. take screen passes where he would just juke that first quarter and he'd
Yeah, and Odell did the same thing, you know, during his Giants days and sometimes during his...
It's just me, but I'll just try not to keep him related to Odell because I'm hoping we don't get the same kind of injury.
Nah, I don't think so. I think Ja'Marr is a little bit... I think he has better leadership around him than Odell ever did.
So, 100% agree
right.
with that.
Now, Mike,
but we did see him get hurt last year.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Second year, We did.
And I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good for him to be back in the NFL because I know, you know, he's playing in the division that you're a fan of, the AFC North. He just signed with the Baltimore Ravens. So let me ask you this,
Mike. Let me ask you this. What do you think about the AFC North? Do you get the best division of football this year?
It's up there. It's up there because I could see three teams making the playoffs this year. I'll tell you this. I have Cincinnati winning the AFC North. I think they're the best team in that division. I think they just have the best core. Watch out for the Steelers, though. Like, Mike Tomlin, to me, is the Eric Spoelstra of the NFL. You put whatever you have around.
Wins, man. I hate the Steelers just as a code of being a Bengals fan. But
absolutely.
I got nothing against Mike Tomlin. He seems like just a great dude.
And he's a guy that you want to play.
Just wins, man. Sometimes you just win. You get a coach that just knows how to coach and is going to get you no matter what team you put on the Steelers.
Exactly. And then with Baltimore, I'm looking. Can they stay healthy? Because Baltimore had a tough time keeping guys on the field, but I'm questioning Baltimore's mental toughness because they blew about six leads last year. And let's say those six leads that they blow are wins, they could be one of the two or three best teams in the AFC.
They looked really, really good at the beginning of the year, and you know, I like Lamar a lot, but I think him not playing in the playoffs last year was super weak.
You think so?
On his part, I think even if you're 80%, I know it's a contract year, but I don't know, man. I just think that there's two different types of players, the guys that are going to get up there and strap it up regardless of the off-the-field stuff going on, and then the other guys that I just don't know that he's got exactly what you mean, the mental toughness, you know? So
right.
You got to show up.
Right.
You got to play.
Definitely. So, Mike, what else is on your mind football-wise, buddy?
You know, who do you think here? What are you thinking of the NFC? My other thing that I talk to a lot of people about out here football-wise is the Niners. And
absolutely.
What they're going to do at quarterback. I think you got such a sick team built up. You had probably the best core, the best defense in the league, I think.
Right.
And all they need is a quarterback, and I think they're in the Super Bowl the last 3 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they've been in the NFC Championship game 3 out of the last 4 years. I honestly can sit here and tell you, I kept saying it last year, I thought they were the biggest threat to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC due to the simple fact physicality travels. When you have an offensive line that can punch you in the mouth up front and you have a defense that's physical in each tier across the board, you have a shot to win every single game you step on the field. And Love just went there the wrong way for them because Brock Purdy gets hurt. Then I think Nick Bosa ends up getting banged up. So the 49ers, I think, win the NFC West. But I'll say this. Whoever they put at quarterback, Kyle Shanahan's going to bring out the best in them. Like, Kyle Shanahan, to me, is one of the five best coaches in the National Football League.
He is. You know, I go back and forth on it. And a lot of my friends out here that are Niners fans go back and forth on it, too, because I think he, in terms of play calling, is maybe, I don't know, second best play caller after Andy Reid. I think you can take that from Andy Reid at all.
Yeah, I can see it. But you want to know,
Shanahan almost out-gadgets himself sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
In big games, in big situations.
Yeah, he does. He does.
He overthinks it. I think he puts it. The other problem with them is, like, when you know that all you need is a quarterback, I think he puts the quarterbacks in some risky spots that I don't think they need to put them in.
I'll tell you this.
That's been their problem the last 3 years. I mean, you're running up the middle with Trey Lance. You're running up the middle with Jimmy G.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't understand that.
And I'm going to take it back for you, man, because you know who last year's 49ers team really reminded me a lot of? They reminded me a lot of that 2004 Pittsburgh Steelers team. Rookie quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. Rookie quarterback last year and Brock Purdy. Ben never lost a game that year. Brock didn't lose the game. Ben got them to the AFC Championship.
Ooh, that's a good comparison.
Brock got them to the NFC Championship. I just saw a lot of comparisons to that team.
Yeah,
last season, but the 49ers are going to be tough. I think coming into the year, and you're going to be the first person I tell this to, if I had to give you my power rankings right now, it would be Kansas City at 1, Philly at 2. I put you guys, the Bengals, at 3. I put San Francisco at 4 and Buffalo at 5.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo, to me, I was high on Buffalo last year, and then I think they kind of got the same thing going on. I think when it comes down to, like, winning those games, I just don't. So I like Josh Allen a lot, but he's never been, like, he's never been the winning guy, you know? So when it comes down to those moments, I mean, they almost lost to the Dolphins in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know?
Let me add on to that, okay? Let me piggyback off that. Josh was playing at an MVP level before he hurt his elbow last year. So I think his elbow wasn't 100% down the stretch. And I'm not using that as an excuse because it's a physical game. It's a long season and guys are going to be banged up, right? So that's number one. Let's just get that out the way. Two, them losing Von Miller really hurt them. You got Von Miller to play against Cincinnati. You got Von Miller to play against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and all these other quarterbacks that are in the league today, right? But number three, I think this is the most important thing. I don't think they ever really recuperated after what happened with DeMar Hamlin. And, you know, if you look at it and you just say, hey, our teammate almost died on the field. We just can't turn the switch on and go back to football. You get what I'm saying?
I get that. I think, let's be clear. First of all, I think that game that happened in, I think was about to be an absolute rundown.
I think so, too.
Buffalo Bills, and I think if that injury doesn't happen, I think it was clear very early on how that game was going to go.
Yeah, and then look at what we saw in the playoffs. Like, man,
and then I think, and that's why I was so glad that we got to play them again in the playoffs, because I just doubled down on that, you know? It was
absolutely.
Like, well, we're playing you at your home stadium now, and then run you by 3 touchdowns.
Absolutely. Now, Mike, I ask you my question, do you have anything else for me football-wise?
Who do you see making the big turnaround this year? Who's gonna? Because there's always that one team that nobody sees coming that makes a giant leap.
I'm going to say the Denver Broncos. Now, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs necessarily, but I think they're going to be a much more improved team. I just saw a group that didn't want to play for Nathaniel Hackett last year, and most importantly, they were using Russell Wilson the wrong way. He's not a pocket guy. Look at all those years he was in Seattle. He's making things happen with his feet. Yeah, he's extending plays, and they were trying to keep him in the pocket. Now you bring in Sean Payton. And Sean, look at what Sean Payton did with Drew Brees. When Drew Brees gets that Hall of Fame jacket in a couple of years from now, it's going to be because of Sean Payton. Sean
they
Payton
similar play styles, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson.
They do. So I'm going
to
say –
Drew used to
say,
run that bootleg.
Yep.
That bootleg a lot. They used to run that a lot.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the Denver Broncos to ask your question. Now, Mike, this is a two-parter for you. I end every phone call by always asking people what their favorite thing is about the Daily Blitz. So now I present that question to you. What's your favorite thing about the Daily Blitz?
I like the articles you write, man. I like your you break it down well. I especially love that every time that there's been a big game, I don't know that I've ever seen you pick against the Bengals, so I tend to always like the articles. Going back all the way to the Super Bowl, I mean, the other year, I know you picked them as well, so I enjoy it, man. I think your analytics, I think the way you break it down, I think you see some things that are in clear sight, but that I wouldn't even necessarily thought of. So I never would have picked the Denver Broncos right there, but I like that pick, actually.
Man, I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Now, I have another question for you, and I'm asking all my phone callers this because everybody's going to be listening to this. Can I get a Super Bowl prediction from you and who you have winning the game?
Well, you know who I got to pick on the AFC side.
Of course.
I think the only thing we've been missing the last 2 years from having two rings is an offensive line. I think the Orlando Brown signing was huge. I think not letting go of any of the other guys, Earl Collins and everybody else, is going to give them depth for when people get hurt inevitably.
Right, right.
So I don't think we'll be just a ragtag offensive line. And I think I just don't think there's a defense in the league that can stop Joe Burrow when he's got an offensive line. So
okay.
I'm taking the Bengals. On the NFC side, I'm a little more torn because I want to take the Niners, but I just think it's a quarterback league. I think it's a quarterback-driven league. I think you got to have a quarterback. And to keep it, it's not going to be super interesting, but I really like the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the NFC is very weak. I don't think there's more than three legitimate contenders in the NFC.
Agreed.
And I think Philly only got better. I think they got a better running back.
Yep.
I think they kept all their offensive line pieces. Another year with Hurts in that system, I think is going to be real interesting. And I think it's going to be Philly.
Okay, so you're calling a Cincinnati Bengals-Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl in Las Vegas in February. Let's see if it happens. Mike, thank you so much for coming
on. Thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you. And I always like to say the doors of MEQ are always open, so let me know when you want to come back, and we'll chop it up and talk more football, okay?
Hell yeah, man. We'll catch up in the season sometime.
Oh, and by the way, Mike is also a North Carolina Tar Heels fan, so it's always a great day to be a Tar Heel, baby.
Let's go, baby. We're coming back next strong.
You already. My man.
And we're back.
Look, I have to throw in a little shout-out, man. It's always a great day to be a Tar Heel. For those of you that know me, I am a diehard North Carolina men's basketball fan. They're probably my second favorite sports team behind, of course, the New York Yankees. You're probably wondering, and listening to those phone calls, could that be me? Yeah, that could be you. Get in contact with me. We will set it up. Or you can get in contact with Ronnie. And he'll set it up, and then we'll make it happen. I love recording these phone calls and playing them on MEQ. And like I always say, the doors of Monday Evening Quarterback are always open. Ronnie, I don't know about you, but this was a fun show.
Yeah, it definitely was fun.
This was fun. I can't wait until, you know, we talk a little more football next week. Normally what I do before I end the show, I always answer some questions. Do we have any questions?
Not right now, no.
Hold on, I'll check on my end, because I believe I did have one. Okay, let's see. I have one on my end, because I posted it on social media. This comes from Mike Duffy, and he asked me three questions, actually. One, is Colorado for real? We'll know more as they get deeper into conference play. Yes, that's a great win against TCU, a team that just played in the national championship. But like we said earlier in the show, they have to run the ball a lot better, and they have to be able to stop the run with that defensive line a little bit better. So that's question number one. Is Florida State national contenders, like I think they are? Yeah, this team is the real deal, especially if Jordan Travis is playing like that. They have a two-headed monster at wide receiver in Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman, two guys that can go up and get the football. Johnny is 6'7", Keon is about 6'4", and Keon kind of reminds me a little bit of DK Metcalf. What is my favorite week 2 matchup in college football? I mean, I'd be crazy if I didn't say Texas and Alabama. They played last year in week 2, and Texas almost beat them. If Quinn Ewers doesn't go down, I really think Texas beats them, but Hudson Card came in, and Texas just unfortunately gave Alabama and Bryce Young last season too much time. Now, this one's in Tuscaloosa, under the lights. Can't wait for that to happen. Thank you for your question, Mike. Ronnie, anything else you want to add?
Quick pick. Pick the game tonight.
I like Clemson here. You know, I think Clemson's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Kay Klubnik is now the starting quarterback, but we all know this offense is going to run through Will Shipley. I think Duke makes it interesting, but I just think Clemson succeeds. I think Clemson wins by a touchdown.
Duke covers, but they lose.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, other game that you should take a look at for next week that I'm interested in is Ole Miss versus Tulane.
Yeah, that's also another one as well. Lane Kiffin going up against that offense. Michael Pratt. Remember that name. He's the quarterback for Tulane. That's going to be a high offensive game, a highly octane offensive scoring football game. So good call on that one. I was thinking about that one as well.
And that's it.
Oh, folks, this is the first official episode of Monday Evening Quarterback for the season on Spotify. As always, keep up with me. Log on to the site, which is thedailyblitz.blog. Enter your email address and become a subscriber today. Enter your email, and anything I put on the site, you will get to your inbox. I promise you. Follow us on Twitter at @DailyBlitz_61. Follow us on Instagram at @TheDailyBlitz_61. You could even follow my personal page, which is @TheFootballAnalyst_61. I could always use some more followers. I am bringing the company page back on Facebook. You know, your boy and Facebook have been like water and oil. We just haven't mixed for the last year or so, but I just want to see if Facebook keeps me on, and then we'll get there once again. Keep up with me on the airwaves every Monday Evening Quarterback with Ronnie Kumpf on Spotify, YouTube, Twitch, Blog Talk Radio, and the Nerdport Network itself. Right after, you can catch me every Monday night and Tuesday night on the Prime, on Prime Sports World with David On Point, TJ Hopkins, Israel Rivera. Again, that's every Monday and Tuesday, the Prime. Wednesdays, catch me back on the Nerd Zone, on the Nerdport Network with Ronnie and John Danzo and Ryan Shaw. I'm sure it'll be fun this year once again. We're going to break down week two, and we're going to look ahead to week one in the NFL. Every Friday night, catch me on College Football Showdown with my man Israel Rivera on Prime Sports World, breaking down everything in college football and getting you ready for the weekend of college football. Saturday is on Instagram, What's On Tap, my little pregame show where I give you the guide to what's coming on that day. Sunday, What's On Tap, looking back at what caught my eye in college football and looking ahead to What's On Tap on the NFL schedule for the day. And then you can also catch me on the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM in Chicago, Illinois, with Dan Marver, Devin Single, Michael Angelo Mercado, and Paul Shavari. And if you need the link to tune into any of these shows, let me know and I will gladly get them to you. That's it. That's all, folks. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is where I usually like to do some shout-outs. Of course, huge shout-out to my incredible and supportive family, my mom, whose birthday is actually tomorrow. So happy birthday, Mom. I love you more than life itself. This isn't possible without you. You pushing me to be the best version of myself. So thank you. Happy birthday. Tomorrow is your day. My beautiful little sister, Taylor. She is doing a doggone thing in the tech industry. Check her out. My dad, love you, old young man, because he get mad if I call him old. You know, man, you can't call your parents old, Ronnie. Then my other son, my son, better known as my dog, Siebes. He's around here somewhere. Look, your dog, they're kids too, and they become a true part of your family. My other siblings, Sean, Janice, Tanisha, some of my closest friends, Robert Butler, Candace Carter, Kimmel Fryer, Jason Tyree, Kevin Cooper, and check out his blog, thecatch.blog, all things baseball. Huge shout out to him, his amazing wife, Lynn, and their beautiful little girl, Evelyn, better known as Evie. Man, the kids love when they get shout-outs on the radio because I know I loved it when I was that age. My other friend Josh, his wife Diana, and their three beautiful daughters, Tiffany, Natalie, and Madison. I hope you guys all have a great school year. Some of my other friends, Rob Carter, Mike Griffin, Alex Bennett, better known as AB, Corey Harris, Deshaun Elliott, and just everybody who has supported this Daily Blitz movement for all these years. The brand turns 13 on Wednesday, September 6th. I can't believe it, and we're only continuing to get better and move on up. I hope you guys enjoyed this show as much as we have fun recording this show. This has been the first episode of Monday Evening Quarterback on Spotify for Ronnie Coombs. I'm Christian Simpson. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the football game tonight between Clemson and Duke. He just asked me who I had winning. I have Clemson. And then in a couple days, the NFL kicks off. Detroit Lions, Kansas City Chiefs. We will see you guys next week, God willing. Again, have a great rest of your Labor Day weekend and enjoy the rest of your week and have a positive week at that. Do something great and be great.